The good people at Manscaped have partnered with us here at the Beautifully Designed Game podcast with an exclusive offer just for you as a thank you for tuning in. Visit uk.manscaped.com, enter promo code TFT20 for 20% off your order. Believe me, your balls will thank you.
Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Beautifully Designed Game podcast brought to you alongside These Football Times. My name is Marcus Marrett, and on today's podcast, I am talking to an artist who I was very surprised when I first started speaking to her to find out that she is early in her journey as a digital illustrator. And I was so surprised because the work I'd seen of hers was a campaign piece for Manchester City, of which we will get onto later. And before I say any more, I will hand over to Mary. Mary, great to speak to you today.
Hi. Yeah, good to speak to you as well. It's great to be asked to be on this, especially as you said, you know, being at the start of my journey. It's great to be able to tell my story and talk to you today.
Brilliant. So can we start off by you letting people know where they can find you and your work online?
Yeah, so Twitter, I'd say, is probably the moment, and that's just Mary Axon Smith, no hyphen.
Okay, right.
Axon Smith. And then Instagram, I've just started posting my things on there too, and that's M_Axon Smith.
Okay. Is there ever a hyphen, or is it just not a hyphen on social media?
Not a hyphen on social media, yeah.
Okay, I got you. I understand. you have recently started using Instagram, you say, is that right?
Yeah, so I've been doing coloured pencil portraits for about 5-6 years now. So that has its own Instagram, and that's you'll find that on Instagram as Axon Smith -Art and Ink. I was kind of battling between all my art on there, or do I separate the two? Do I keep it digital on one page and colour pencils on the other? And I couldn't decide which to do, but I think just for the aesthetic and what pleases me, I think it's best to just keep them for Instagram. But yeah, my illustration stuff I'm going to post on the one that's just my name.
Yeah, okay. And so do you think of the two yourself as very separate areas of your work? Even when you're speaking to art directors or clients or people that you may work with, do you think of the two as very different areas of illustration for you?
Kind of, I guess. I think the difference, my sort of pencil stuff and the pet portraits, it's all very good sort of one person. So, you know, they'll come to me and want something drawn, just as, you know, a singular person will want this done and it's their pet. And that, you know, I do that. Then whereas with the illustration stuff, I don't know, I just feel like it's so different in the sense that that will get sent out and, you know, thousands will see it. Essentially millions. I think that's why I tend to keep them separate slightly.
Okay. Do you have a preference yourself to either of them, or is it a case of you get the same enjoyment from both, they just happen to be different techniques?
I think I do get the same enjoyment in both. I think it's lovely to get that reaction from a customer, you know, that I painted their animal, you know, or it can be people too, like, you know, something that's close to their heart. It's lovely to get their reaction back. And, you know, oh, this looks so much like them. And or hopefully, you know, if it's good, you know, this looks so much like them. And, you know, you've really brought their character out. And that's lovely. Like, I love hearing that. But then the other side of the illustration stuff, especially the Pep Guardiola piece, it's creating a story within an illustration. So I feel like I get a lot of enjoyment out of that too. So yeah, I would say, you know, they're quite different with, like, in a sense of the enjoyment that I get out of doing each different piece.
Okay, so touching on what you have just brought up there, there is a piece of work that you produced for Manchester City, and I'll hand that over to you now to give us way more information than that. So yeah, can you give us a bit of a background about, it'd be great to hear how that happened, how you got speaking to the club, how they were aware of your work, and then the narrative behind the visual would be great.
So it's quite an interesting story in the sense that at the start of this year, I would never have expected to have a piece of my artwork on, you know, anything, any other page, let alone Man City page. So I started this year, sort of the new year, just being really busy over the Christmas period with technical trades for Christmas and, you know, things like that. I was feeling a bit of a lull, a little bit like, you know, where do I go from here? What do I want out of this year? Where do I want to go?
Okay.
And I kind of turned to a friend who worked for City, and I said, I'm a bit lost, to be honest. I really don't know where to go with this. I'm thinking about doing a graphic design course. I'm thinking about maybe potentially going to uni or, you know, seeing if I can find a course. He basically went to me, and I was like, I'm really thinking of what I can do to still be creative, but, you know, but really, you know, drive this career forward. He said, but, you know, don't be a graphic designer, be an illustrator.
Yeah,
I guess so, actually. That makes sense. He said, you're good enough. Like, you need to believe in yourself. You are good enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, like, what if perhaps you gave me, say, a brief that you perhaps give to somebody, and I'll go ahead and I'll work on it and just kind of see how I go with it. You could perhaps say what you'd have done different. And so he said, well, I'll tell you what, do a real brief. We can see how you do with it. And as you say, you know, I can give you pointers of, you know, what I would want, what would change. And yeah, just see how you get on with it. I said, oh, perfect. Like, either way, I'm just going to be working on this and it might happen from it, but, you know, most likely it's not going to. It's my first real sort of illustration that I've done. And a bit of back and forth with him, and he started to be like, you know, this is good.
Yeah, wow, okay, yeah.
Like, cool. That's great. And good.
Yeah.
And that just gave me that confidence. Like, yeah, I can do this. And maybe, yeah, I am good enough. So much as I sort of feel like a little bit, I don't know what the word is. What's it called? When you sort of like feeling like I've not cheated the system or anything like that. Well, I've sort of just gone in with the best straight away.
Right.
And it's because of obviously knowing someone that's worked at City that believes in me as well.
Right. It wouldn't happen to be a touch of imposter syndrome or anything like that.
That is exactly the word that I could not think of. Yeah, I knew you knew what I was talking about.
Everyone gets completely. That. No matter where you may feel you are, sorry to just jump in here a wee bit. You say that, and I'm telling you now, no matter how many years you may have been working as an illustrator, and whatever you may or may not have worked on or be working on, You yeah. always get that. So yeah, don't, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just one thing that I sort of was thinking, oh, you know, people work years to try and get this opportunity, and you know, and I've kind of just jumped right in there. But you know, I've come away from thinking about that now. I have sort of been like, I did, you know, I am good enough to be doing this.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I've had that opportunity. And as I say, someone actually believed in me and gave me that opportunity. So yeah, as I say, like, you know, that was really kind of my first illustration that I'd right. done. As I say, a lot of back and forth. Oh,
not at all. If I just because I'm so curious to hear about details within
yeah.
the composition and the visual, could you give us an insight to your approach, the elements that you worked in? And I'm curious to ask about one specific part, but I okay. will leave it over to yourself for now.
So the original brief was kind of given me was, you know, we just kind of want Pep in his office and perhaps the poster with the 500 points behind him. So I went off and I was like, okay, cool. So I like to do it, and I did the basic layout of a room, Pep in there, and I chose the image of the one where he stood on Neptune Bridge.
Okay.
With, I think that's the first time he's worn the city's scarf.
Right.
So I chose that with the suit he was wearing. So I like to draw that as a little bit of the first time.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to draw that into it. And then, yeah, I guess I just went from there. I tried to think of ways to do the poster. Originally, I was going to put the shirt idea. I was going to do it as a Guardiola and 11 for managers. I think, if I remember correctly, it was 11 managers a month.
Okay.
That he's won. So yep. I was going to do that. But then we ended up putting Danny actually said, oh, well, why don't we put a window there? It'll just open the room up a bit. I was like, oh, cool. That means that, you know, put the stadium in it. That's another little, you know, sort of tick of Easter egg as such.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I decided to do the shirt behind him with the 500 instead. So that's obviously sort of the focus point behind that. And yeah, I guess I just kept just adding to it, trying to research a lot. The trophies. Obviously, I personally think of him as sort of like king of the Premier League. And,
yep, okay.
You know, so, and yeah, obviously the Centurion's rug into his journey. Yeah, I guess just trying to add as much as I could sort of think of to all bring it together, as I say, sort of almost like a journey / story within the illustration.
Okay, brilliant. And one area I was curious about, the screen that is coming into view in the top right corner on the wall. Okay. Excuse me. The stats that are coming just into view below City's badge that would be their match stats for that game, are they based on any particular game or taken?
So,
or?
So going to do with where it was cropped and how, you know, where it was cropped basically. So I didn't necessarily do it from any particular match stat. However, I did do, is it, and you test me here, I can't remember which is terrible, but it's a date of the score.
The date
they're founded, so it's 19. I remember.
Yeah.
But then I think it was sort of like it said 2020. So yeah, it was more just putting in numbers. As opposed to. And
oh,
I think
no.
it said 5. Then I think it said 500. I can't quite remember now. But yeah.
Well, fair play. So it's a hidden. actually, a far smarter hidden message than I. than I thought of myself. So fair play, fair play.
You noticed that because I didn't know if how much that would be noticed in sort of the top.
Well, it was, excuse me, I was too curious to ask that. I'll be honest that I didn't look myself. And now that you've said it, I've actually not been lazy and looked, seen the numbers and can now read it. But I will absolutely admit I would never have recognized those myself. Absolutely not. And can I pick you up on you and your portraiture work? It isn't only with footballers and those in the football world that I've seen you do portraits of, including a recent kind of work in progress teaser that you've shared of a Lewis Hamilton portrait. Can I ask you what it is about portraits that you like doing? Do you find them a test of your obvious skill and technique, or is it more that you like to show a character or people that you have a connection to?
Of course. So it was quite funny, actually. Or when I first started thinking of, I would say, sort of 5-6 years ago, when I was like, "Oh, what do I do?" You know, a little bit of, I tried this, I tried that. I don't really know what, so maybe I'll try art, just as like a side thing. I stopped myself for quite a while because I never wanted anybody to ask me to draw people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
So that, and I never wanted to draw like a white cat on a white background. Those were the two things that stopped me.
Oh, really?
Me.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that stopped me from kind of putting myself out there to do art. So for months, I didn't do it because I never wanted to be asked to do these things, which I couldn't do.
Is it because at the time you didn't like drawing people? Like, did you just actively dislike drawing them?
I just couldn't. Like,
oh, right. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
I think it's been a lot of sort of trial and error with some early pieces where I've actually been able to get it from much more lifelike. And like the David Silver one that is actually just behind me. I know for a podcast people can't see that, but the David Silver one that I did.
Yes.
That is my favorite colored pencil portrait that I've ever done.
Okay.
Because I think I looked at it and was like, okay, you can draw people now, and you couldn't do this like 3-4 years ago.
Could you let people, is there a particular channel online or digitally that people could see the David Silver coloured pencil portrait I can see on the screen? Is there anywhere online that you could direct people to see that?
Gosh, yeah. So it is on my Twitter.
Okay.
It's quite recent on my Twitter, actually. So
great.
Obviously, if people clicked on my media, they would be able to see that. And it's on the coloured pencil art page that I mentioned previously too.
Brilliant.
But yes, I do, having been practicing drawing portraits, I do absolutely love it. And to be fair, the points that you mentioned when asking the questions, I didn't know. I love drawing the expression, the character, just bringing something to life. You know, people can almost, you know, like you said, see their expression and kind of know what. It's good to tell a story with, I think, as well, with portrait.
Brilliant, absolutely. And is there... when you're selecting who to spend your time illustrating, is there anything that particularly attracts you to who you want to create a portrait of? Is there ever a decision that's based on, oh, I think this person has a really interesting facial feature? Or are that person, Scott McTominay, for example, has unbelievable cheekbones, so they will be a lot of fun to play with? Or is it based on, you know what, I really like what that person's about and I really want to express my respect for what that person's all about? Or I guess you can also make a decision based on either, on either reason.
Yeah, I guess that is true. I think for a couple of them, I love to do reactive illustrations too. So for example, the Mo Salah illustration that I did, for obviously scoring his 150 goals for Liverpool.
Yes.
I did that because, you know, it was a recent piece and, a recent season that had happened. But as well, like I said, I also really wanted to draw his hair. So
yes, yeah,
there are points of I'm saying for the Lewis Hamilton one as well. I just think, without sounding creepy, I just think his face. I definitely enjoy, I would say it's a work in progress on at the moment, and trying a bit of a new style with sort of the colouring that I'm doing on it. I'm really enjoying that one, definitely.
If I can pick you up on your colouring, because there's a series of work I have enjoyed particularly of yours outside of your sporting work, and that is the Neon Cities series of kind of landscape scenes you created, and use of colour. And that kind of hyper realized and stylized use of color was kind of key to them. Can I pick up on your use of color and what it is about, how you can be quite expressive with how you apply it, and how you go about deciding, the portrait that I want to produce of Lewis Hamilton is going to go down this mm-hmm. kind of hyper realized route.
Picking up on the Lewis Hamilton one first, that's obviously with the colour that I chose, the greens that are sort of in his his overall, in the branding and things like that.
Yes,
I wanted to pick up on that. And that's kind of why I wanted to make him that it's all greeny and whites and things like that. I think I'm hoping with that piece as well to put his the new car in it too. The new Mercedes car in it too. So I wanted to kind of pick up on a couple colours there. With the Neon City stuff, I think, colour in general, to be fair, so I did do graphic design, graphic art A level. So I kind of always, been able to see colours in a way that kind of complement each other. I'm no expert in that field at all, but I do have an eye for it. Many things that I tried out. I also was a hair and makeup artist in theatres.
Oh, okay.
So I worked at the Royal Exchange for a few years, doing wig work and special effects makeup there, and sort of other sorts of makeup and hair stuff there too. And I think learning colours in that, within that world as well, has really helped, especially that thing like bruising. To know all of the colours that go into the different stages of an aging bruise.
Wow. Okay.
So I think I've always kind of, no matter what job I've kind of been in, it's been something to do with colours and knowing what kind of works with each other and having to learn more about that.
Okay, that's really interesting to know that background you've got, because I really would imagine you would learn, I'd very much subconsciously how much you will apply from what you would have learned, when it comes to producing facial structure and knowing how light and shadow works. That's interesting, because I don't know if it has been shared any more than I have seen. At least I think I remember when I saw it last, or when I last looked back at it, it was a work in progress visual you had shared. But there's Megan Rapinoe portrait of yours that there's something about the facial structure, there's something about the whole structure that I just keep looking back at, because my eyes just keep being drawn to that. And so it just came to me then that I wonder how much of your eyes will be applying that background you've got.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because obviously, you know, especially with makeup, it took a while to get used to it too, to be fair. In somebody's face, you know, you can be like right up close. You know, especially with the artwork that I want to go down, you artwork on their face. You know, that is how, you know, you look at it. So I think you do get to learn a lot of different, you know, I work with so many people there, and you know, you learn a lot of different face shapes. So I think, as you say, yeah, perhaps that did kind of subconsciously feed into my portrait work.
Okay, and you were working essentially with physical wet and dry material in the makeup world, and then moving on to the colored pencil drawings you do. Could you give us an insight to technically how do you go about that? And I'm asking as someone who looks at how just simply realistic they are, and that's a very simple statement to make, but it applies greatly to your dog portraits and how much shape there is in the fur, and that really shows technical skill to me. Could you give us an insight to you know, physically what do you work with and that whole process?
Of course, yeah. So if you'd have seen what they look like when I first started, you would not be saying these things.
Okay.
But so I would say, especially with pencil work that I found anyway, with pencil work, colour pencil, it is all about practice. And that probably is the case. I mean, that's the case with so many things. But I've found that looking back, I mean, when I first started, I actually used biro pen and watercolours. That was my first material that I used to start my pet portrait. And then it's developed to just using coloured pencil. I'm actually looking at it right now. I have the biggest collection of coloured pencils.
Okay.
You know, it's easier when you appropriate and you just have a little wheel to pick what you've got as opposed to what I've got in front of me where, you know, I can see every single colour in that picture. So I will, obviously you're blending colours, but you know, like then you have to sharpen each colour and, you know, it has to be really, really sharp to get that detail, get that realism.
Yeah.
But I just use it's called hot press watercolour paper that I do my pet portraits on now.
Okay.
As I say, it's really just do the outline pencil, and then I kind of like to do it at a time. So I see a lot of colour pencil artists that do a base colour. They, you know, they do an all over colour for you know, the blocks and to see the layout better of it, I guess. But I like to do it piece by piece. So for example, I'll start with the nose, and then I'll, you know, do that and maybe build outwards, then perhaps do an it, you know, but complete it. So I do everything sort of very sectionally.
It's interesting how you were sharing your eyes seeing every single colour within whatever reference material you are looking at. With my work, my eyes go the opposite. I take everything right back to right. Where is light? Where is shadow?
Yeah.
You know, the very much opposite. Let's strip things back down to shapes and then build from there.
I'm completely in awe of all that because I should say I am so different. Like I Sisal makes things so detailed, but so minimal, it baffles my brain.
Well, it's how many different approaches there are, and everyone has equal, relevance to be celebrated, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
And you touched on Procreate there. Is that a software that you use a lot yourself?
Yeah, that's what I do all my sort of illustrations on. I will perhaps touch stuff up in Lightroom.
Okay.
But the majority of, Procreate is really the only program I've used since getting my iPad. End of 2020, I got my iPad.
Okay.
And that's really kind of the only software I've used, but it works for me, so I don't, I don't really see the difference. Almost look into other, apps and things.
Brilliant. And do you use a, do you ever use a mouse when you are drawing digitally? And I ask you that because, when I have a pen in hand, and I say pen because I really enjoy continuous line drawing when I'm not looking at a screen. But when I'm working on a screen, I am so used to working with a mouse. For all of any lovely looking bit of kit I may ever have, I will always go back to using an Apple mouse I say an Apple mouse because I do specifically like and I think if you're going to use a mouse, think about it fitting nice on your hand. Do you ever use a mouse?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Even, no. I was interested to see the reaction.
No. So as I say, looking back on the graphic art that I did for A level.
Yeah.
Even then, I did a whack on tablet.
Okay.
And then when I used to do sort of the artwork there, but no, since getting the Apple Pencil and iPad Pro, I think because obviously with me being so into pencil work and all that, holding the pen and knowing the technique that I'm doing, so it's much easier to obviously translate that onto using the iPad and the Apple Pencil.
Well, I'm going to give you a bit of information that, because this is just a wee insight and doesn't make sense, isn't probably going to make sense, but I'll share it anyway. So when I use Illustrator for everything that I do, really, maybe just 5% in Photoshop. But I look at things in terms of when I'm working up my compositions and kind of basic structural lines that everything works on the top of. I think about things in terms of percentages of 12.5 degree angles, and whenever I'm looking at anything that has a curve, breaking things down to a 22.5 degree curvature of line, and then how everything is then built on that. It doesn't mean that
so much maths.
Listen, that sounds it sounds like I do, and as if there's this great math happening in my head, but it's really not. It is just how my head computes and then turns into the visuals that you see in front of you. So no, don't let just throwing numbers out there give any hidden any hidden idea of a Goodwill Hunting scenario happening. Definitely not. So can we find out a little bit about Mary, the non digital artist and illustrator. Excuse me. And I say this as someone who did tell Mary earlier that she has the name of someone who should be representing, or that you hear representing Team GB in the 400 meters at this summer's whatever big event it would be. Mary Axon-Smith does sound like a Team GB athlete. Do you not think so?
Sure. I think my dad will be very impressed with that.
Oh, okay.
Said that. Yeah. Because he actually, little story really. My mum is one of four sisters.
Okay.
So as a present to my gramps, my dad went to change his name. His name was Smith and my mum was Axon. So as a present, got the name changed to Axon Smith, because obviously it would have, you know, it would have died, you know, with four sisters, it's not a bit classic, but you know, it would have, you know, we would have lost Axon. So my mum was the youngest sister. So, yeah, as a sort of present to my grandma, they had Axon Smith, and my mum was fuming, did not speak to him for a while because she absolutely hated the name Axon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she just couldn't wait to get away from it. And then my dad did that. So, but yeah, I think Mary Smith possibly wouldn't have sounded like a Olympic athlete, but Axon Smith, I've always loved my last name. But obviously, funny you should say that, because one of the main sports that I did do growing up, and I did netball, hockey, rounders. I did a lot.
Yeah.
But the main one was athletics. So yeah, I was a sprinter, so 100, 200.
Okay.
And then did some, I really wanted to do high jump, but they said that I was better at long jump, so I had to do long jump instead, my coach said. So
okay.
But yeah.
So did you have a preference over your favourite distance?
I loved 100 metres the most.
Okay.
But once again, my coach said I'm actually better at 200.
Right, okay.
I ended up being, I ran for Sale Harriers, and I thought of all the competitions that I used to do. I'd do 200, but I would always sort of be there at the 200, which is my annoyance in a way.
That's a high standard, no, that athletics club.
Yeah, I think I was 12 when I was at a meet with school, and somebody almost, probably wasn't this professional, but somebody basically scouted and said, I want you to run at Sale Harriers, which is obviously really cool, because where they train is Port City, which is right next to the Etihad.
Yeah.
So, it was amazing. I loved it, and there was always really, really awesome people there. I actually had on one of the days training, we had a day with Glennis, who came to do a day sort of almost a little bit like a camp, like an athletics camp there. So that was awesome. So that was always a really, really exciting place to be, especially for competitions and everything around that was I absolutely love.
And have you ever found that you have competed against someone who has gone on to be a professional footballer in any kind of a way?
Not against, but I was part of the relay team. So obviously 4x100 meters relay team. Obviously four girls in there, and one of the girls is Gabby George, who plays.
Oh, really?
Plays for Everton.
Yes.
So that's. I mean, I think that as well to link back to obviously the job that I'm in now.
Were you competing for the same leg, or were you both in the same team on different legs?
No, it was same team, different legs.
Yep.
Yeah, I was second. She was fourth.
Okay.
kind of mean she's a little bit faster, but I'm not having it.
Right. Oh no.
I'll race her now. I'm still faster.
And how about you as a footballer? Did that did your speed on the track translate to speed on the pitch?
I would have loved to have been a footballer. I cursed my dad for not taking me to do football because my brother was his protege.
Right.
Was obviously massively into his football. He's had a really great football career as well, which is where my love for football comes as well, from watching my brother.
Okay. Do you want to give your brother a shout out?
No, because then he'll think it's all about him. And...
Okay, no, fine. No, good.
No, I'm joking. No, he played for the Bolton Academy. I think he got scouted.
Okay, yep.
For Bolton when he was, I think he was sort of like 12, 13, that age. Yep. He was young. But yeah, but I remember going watching him at the Reebok. And also seeing my dad, his day, watching my brother there. I know I was only young at the time, but my dad had such a passion for football too.
Oh, so that's great.
For my brother to be able to do that has been amazing. But then, yeah, I guess, unfortunately, so he went to Morecambe Football College.
Yep.
Okay. And he played, he was playing semi-pro, and I wouldn't be able to remember the team that he was playing for semi-pro. But I think he had quite a bit of luck with Morecambe. He should have been playing for Team Morecambe. He had a bit of bad luck. But yeah, he went to a team in Wales.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of been watching him play all around.
Circumstance must affect so many. Well, as circumstance affects anybody in any walk of life. If you think about if you are playing or if you're competing for a spot in any team sport, you're competing against people for even that same spot in a team. Yeah. And if you must think that a coach might have a valid decision or a valid reason for choosing another player over someone of the same standard, but that is also something that's out of your control if you've got a coach who, you know, because of the way that he plays. Yeah, so yeah. There must be so many things that, yeah.
Yeah, he has been unlucky. We've always kind of said he should have gone to America as well. I think at one point, he should have gone to America.
Right.
But he's a home bird, so I don't think he would have done that.
Yeah.
But he's still playing football. I'm not going to suit it on anymore, but he is very good. I still watch him play. I watched him play a couple of Saturdays ago, and yeah, he is still very good.
talking of very good, can you let us know your favourite players in the current game?
Of course. So, obviously, I was absolutely devastated when Aguero and Silva both left it, because those are definitely my top. Watching them play, they were in the, obviously my first game I went to go see was I think it was the start of 2017 was my first game that I'd got to be able to play, and I think City's team at that point it was just amazing to watch. So I definitely say Aguero is up there for my favorite player. But I love Kevin De Bruyne.
Yes, okay.
I absolutely love Kevin De Bruyne. And Foden. I do really like Foden as well.
Yep.
I watched his... I actually was there for his first game playing for City.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So, I guess, in a way, when I started to get into football, it was when he was getting into City. And I don't know.
There's a lovely link there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a link there, I guess.
I'm sure it is fueled in my head given what has happened to him, but I know Well, I think he might only have actually worn it once or made one competitive appearance for Barcelona. But every time I see their home kit this year, not the Champions League home kit, the actual home kit, it always makes me think of Sergio Aguero, actually. And I really like that. And maybe it's one reason why I'll, what I say this as if it's me twisting my own arm just to get myself it at some point. But I really like in myself that every time I see it, it at least makes me think that, you know, in a slightly alternate reality, Sergio Aguero would have been flying forward for Barcelona alongside Lionel Messi, you know. Imagine him with 25 goals already this season, you know. I am assuming there's a soft spot to for David Silva as well, given given the portrait that's on display behind you.
I drew that for my boyfriend actually for a Christmas present. I get to keep it in the office room. Kind of stole it back. As I say, back to me watching them when I first started getting more into, always been in football, as I say, from watching my brother and the passion that I get from my dad and my brother. But actually from supporting the team, going watching them. David Silva, he's always kind of stood out. Kind of always when watching them, always was sort of looking towards him on the pitch, sort of thing.
Very good, very good. And so, Mary, can you please remind people where they can find you online and follow your work?
Of course, yeah. So on Twitter, it's Mary Axon Smith, and on Instagram, it's M_AxonSmith. I am hoping to get my website set up next week. Just one of those things to add to the many lists of things I need to do. I need to get all that sorted so I can have that one place where everything's on it and to really sort of broadcast my work.
Brilliant. But for now, people can find out what you're up to in a way that I think it's great, the work in progress. Teaser visuals you do share, that's great, so I do recommend
because I think as well it's with the pieces that I do, obviously with them being detailed, they do take a while, can take me a fair few hours, and I think that I've found with social media and obviously the whole battle of trying to get things out there, trying to get your name out there and constantly staying sort of active, it can be difficult because I could be working on a piece for a couple of days, so I think to be able to pop in sort of work in progress shot, I think is really handy as well.
Great. Excellent. Brilliant. Well, and actually, can we have a prediction for this weekend? Obviously it will give people an insight as to when we're speaking today. And I don't know when specifically this will go live, so it will be a nice look back as to what was happening this weekend. So how do you think this weekend's football will go for City?
Absolutely. Yeah. 4-0.
Okay. And this season's title race, is it actually on? Or is it just, even City can't win every week. This is just a natural thing that happens all along the way, and people just need to take a deep breath and...
I think it was when everyone was sort of, it's in the bag, and it's just so infuriating because you're like, no, not yet. And I think it's that, you know, there's always something that can happen, and now obviously with Liverpool winning in the week, I think just got that little bit more. Wait, it's 3 points behind at the moment.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, it's a little too. I think we still got it in the bag.
Okay. Well, I have I have City in the League Cup semi-final of my current Football Manager game. So there's a lot of City activity that's front of mind for me right now. And it is away against Everton this weekend, and Everton are good at their gaff. Yeah. So you could say right now, I don't know. I think it could all of a sudden be City are 4-0 down at half time at Goodison Park, and it's rocking.
Yeah, it's got them. It's got to them, all the pressure of everybody saying you've got it in the bag. Yeah. Maybe this is just I'm not going to say it. But you're United fan.
Yes, my family have ties to, well, basically when my opa first settled in West Yorkshire, having arrived from, well, he did some travelling on his route there from Greece as a young man, and his factory worker mates took him to watch football on a Saturday to make him feel part of the gang. And they took him to see a team from Manchester who were known as the Busby Babes, and he went to see them before Munich. And so there's always been that tie on mum's side of the family. And my brother-in-law, he's a proper Manc, and so there is that side. But I will wholly admit that with how much I play now, I, as an adult, I far more enjoy things when I'm not so invested in supporting someone, you know, because I do not want to get so up and so down. And actually, it's nice to...
Because I was listening to the podcast and a couple of the other the guys that you've had on there, sort of saying these amazing, you know, reasons as to why they're sort of Liverpool fans, and it's through family members.
Yeah.
And it's terrible because the main reason why I'm a City fan is because my dad and my brother are United fans.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to line them up.
How good for you.
I just really wanted to be stubborn. I've always been that kind of one of the fans of life, kind of still part anyway. But yeah, the main reason is basically because they support United, so I wanted to support City.
You know what, I am I'm feeling a wee bit for my nephew Joshua, because he's 17 now. And so his very young days, he was remembering United as lifting trophies, but he is now very consciously in a world where City are the very well-run football club who don't shoot themselves in the foot like they always used to. And that was always, that was what City were about. They were always going to F things up and do it themselves. But we live in a different world now. So you know what? Done you. Enjoy it. Celebrate it.
I think I backed the right horse in 2016 anyway. But my brother will forever call me glory supporter. But it really wasn't. It didn't work out that way. Yeah. I think it's just I chose them because, as I say, sort of being struggling like to support, and then managed obviously to get to my first like proper game, and obviously just fell in love with the atmosphere, fell in love with how they play. Sort of is always found them, and well, sometimes mostly always found them so sort of mesmerizing to watch, and like how they play. It's so almost sort of like liquid, like how I find them how they play. And again, you can't help but love them.
I do remember when it was in his early days of being City manager. I remember one time, and it might have been one of those early occasions, so you didn't quite realise it at the time, that he was actually taking the mickey out of the interviewer. But when he looks in the eyes of the interviewer and says, "I'm so, so happy," in that Spanish drawl he's got, and he says it in such a lovely way, "I'm so, so happy," it just makes you think of, I imagine Pep Guardiola looking you in the eyes and telling you that you make him so happy. Oh, God, it would be so dreamy.
I'm glad you think that would be dreamy too. Speaking of actually Pep and interviews, another huge reason why I do love him as a manager. Love him as a manager. The interview where the interviewer goes, what does he say now? He says something about, so how does it feel to be in the chance of winning the first domestic treble in the UK or something. Sorry, I can't quite remember. And he just kind of looks back and goes, men's.
Carry
on.
Yes,
and he goes,
very good point.
Well, men's, because the women have already, you know, at that point, that interview I always remember.
Because it was Chelsea, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And he said, being the chance of the domestic treble in the, I want to think it was or something, in the country or something, whatever he said.
Yeah.
And the way he said,
yes. Yeah, good for him.
He's just brilliant. Yeah, definitely. I love him as a manager.
Absolutely. Taking a sidestep and finishing off with, do you have a favourite City kit of all time? Or if I was to ask you what kit comes to mind first off when I ask you about a City kit, what does spring to mind?
Yeah, of course. So I did love the Paisley. I know it's quite a recent one, but I did like the Paisley kit.
Okay, yeah. I think that was one of last year's collections, wasn't it? So yeah, that'll be the 2021 season.
Yeah, because that got, at the start, I think that got quite a bit of backlash on Twitter, and but then by the end, people were loving it.
Okay.
But yeah, I know that I remember that. There was, speaking of kits in general, as an illustrator, I feel really boring because I love the basic ones.
Yes, I respect
clean,
that.
For example, the is it the AIK AIK edition shirt?
Yes.
AIK Aalborg, is it the black edition shirt?
Yes.
Oh, that is my favourite, and I think it's just so sleek and so clean. But as an illustrator, obviously, not the most interesting to draw.
Well, no, I make the same decisions. So I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah.
And actually, as a City fan, can I ask you, I'm not sure if it's City's second or third kit this season that's the really dark blue that has their version of the Puma type-based approach.
That people have been sort of saying looks like a training kit.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I really don't mind it. I like the ball. I don't think it should get as much hate as it has. Obviously, seeing that there was the image that they brought out when it was released, wasn't it, with all of the kits that have that, you know, felt the other City Football groups.
Yes.
I like it. I don't think it deserves the hate that it gets.
Fair play, brilliant. Well, I actually have a delivery due today, I'm excited about that arriving, and I think I might give it its debut tomorrow. So I will reference it when I share whatever I am representing for tomorrow.
The other recent one,
yes,
is the PSG Jordan.
Okay.
That, again, clean stuff. That whole the marketing, the whole all the images from that launch. I really, really like that kit.
Yeah, I think they've done. I think that was a partnership that fit, and some of the lines that they've released, that even from the hoodies to the kits themselves, have been very nice. And I think of the late of that latest white kit, I would happily simply have the shorts themselves, because they are they are not stylized with that star outline shape on the sides. Very similar to the Bulls shorts, I think. So yeah. I think a goalkeeper could get away with wearing them and then just something else on top. That'd be fine. Yeah. I could do that.
Yeah, I love those, especially as they like the tracksuit.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, Mary, it's been brilliant hearing from you today and your craft and how you do it and why you do it. And I would highly recommend everybody go and follow Mary and what she does online. So please do so. And Mary, thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks a lot.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists, and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.